And the Beat Goes On and On, written by Triscribe and read by Flower Parish. This is a Transformers fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the characters Jazz, Soundwave, Bumblebee, and Raph. Cybertron. Soundwave found them in the aftermath of the latest Decepticon victory. Come on, Jazz, please! A retraining wall from one of the smaller watchtowers had fallen outwards, likely in the third explosion to tear through the Autobot base, the one that just barely preceded a call for retreat. Clearly, the offline black and white frame pinned beneath blackened rubble had already been on his way out by that point, likely spiriting to safety the smaller yellow figure trying desperately to wake him. You've gotta, Jazz, I can't. No other Autobots lingered within range of visual or audible signaling. The rest of the gleeful Decepticons were still inside the cracked open remains of the base, celebrating their success. Soundwave stood alone beside the shattered wall, observing. Unsurprisingly, the Autobot youngling's words broke down into static-filled clicks and beeps, too much emotion overwhelming his logic center and instinctive base code rushing to fill the gap. Little digits scrabbled at the rubble, their thin, matte black coating worn away down to bare protoform, which tore easily, leaving thin streaks of energon against the stone and metal. Yet, despite his panic, despite the pain, the youngling persisted, refusing to simply flee into the night. It took one final, terrified whimper for Soundwave to finally move. Three steps forward, and the youngling's helm snapped around, miniature door wings shooting upright. Another step, seen by bright blue optics dialed open to their widest setting, and the little Autobot flung himself up into a protective stance. No, stay back! Soundwave unspooled a data cable and set it forth. The youngling attempted to dodge its grasp, but the thin pincers caught his scruff bar nonetheless, and easily hoisted his entire frame into the air. No! The youngling screeched. Jazz, help! The older Autobot did not stir. Soundwave continued to hold his small defender aloft, ignored the flailing and sobs, and studied the arrangement of rubble. And then he began to dig. It took several long moments for the youngling to notice. He quieted, slightly, but continued to wriggle at the end of Soundwave's cable. One brief shake managed to put an end to that, though. After half a bream of the youngling remaining still and only releasing the occasional hiccup, Soundwave gently set him back down. Smaller pieces of rubble went quickly, flicked aside or else picked up and tossed. The bigger sections required a bit more care to tip off the prone frame beneath without inflicting further damage. When he deemed his efforts enough, Soundwave wrapped cables and fingers alike around black and white plating and heaved the unresponsive Autobot free. The youngling made a pained noise when he could see the full extent of his minder's injuries. Jazz! Soundwave said nothing. He hauled the Autobot a few mechanometers further, then released his grip, and pulled from subspace a field medic's kit. Nothing elaborate, but he could at least patch the larger tears in exposed energon lines, still sluggishly leaking, and trim back some of the split and jagged metal most likely to repuncture them. He set to the task with methodical precision, highly aware of the confused youngling at his side. Perhaps halfway through the process, an engine stirred to life, and faint light emerged from behind a cracked visor. Sns? Jazz! The youngling threw himself forward, skidding across the gravel as he collapsed in front of the elder Autobot's helm. That liquid mercury voice rasped, B, and then, K, little bit. Articulating a response seemed to be out of the youngling's grasp. He again descended into the frantic clicks of an overstressed sparkling, and his minder reacted with a pained grunt, dragging the nearest arm closer. Soundwave grasped said arm with his slender digits and arranged it where limp, sparking fingers could drape against quivering yellow plating. The faintly lit visor shifted in his direction. Sounders. Soundwave said nothing, but he did online an old speaker and began playing a carefully archived audio file. Soft music, not appropriate for fast-paced club atmospheres, but rather something quietly shared between friends on a rooftop, hidden and momentarily safe from prying, disapproving optics. Jazz said nothing either, but one corner of his mouth did twitch up into an equally soft smile, and the youngling's panicked crying gradually eased, stuttered ventilations smoothing out to match the slow melody. As the patchwork neared completion, Soundwave pretended not to notice a whispered inquiry. Why is he helping us? 'Cause some cons ain't all bad, Lil B, and this one and me, we go way back, before the cons were even a thing. Oh. The audio file ended just as Soundwave finished his work. He stood, careful not to startle the youngling curled around Jazz's helm. Both watched him regardless. Even with the medical attention, the wounded Autobot obviously could not haul himself away from the captured base without assistance. Limbs and cables once more took hold of his limp frame, and Soundwave dragged Jazz further into the meager shelter of a line of natural boulders some 20 mechanometers from the ruined wall. The youngling trotted alongside without question. Once the pair were better hidden from any Decepticons who might stumble into view, Soundwave paused and observed. Jazz clearly tried to do the same, but the glow of his visor dimmed further, likely the pain generated from being moved so far a distance. The youngling darted a quick, anxious glance up toward Soundwave's mirrored faceplate. Thank you. Hey, ain't no trouble, Soundwave played for him in return, a recording several centuries old, which made the youngling's optics widen with surprise as he turned to stare at his minder. Jazz, for his part, only chuckled. Still got that old clip, Sounders? An inane question, seeing as Soundwave had already demonstrably provided the answer, but he only tweaked one of Jazz's sensory horns, prompting a noise of fond annoyance before turning to go. He would gather his squads of Decepticons and finish their looting of the captured base, a reasonably long task, and then they'd return to their own lines, taking the most direct route, which by necessity meant taking off and flying in the opposite direction of the boulders, hiding the two Autobots from view. 'Cause some cons ain't all bad, Lil B. Earth. Soundwave found them in the aftermath of the latest pointless struggle. B, Bumblebee, come on, please. One of the tall, narrow spires of dusty red stone had collapsed, likely weakened in a hail of blaster fire, and then fully knocked over by the Energon deposit at the heart of the battle blowing up. Dust still clogged much of the air, reducing visibility. Additional debris blocked the mouth of the former mine, trapping the rest of the Autobot team within. None of their comm signals would be getting out anytime soon, let alone the mecha themselves. You have to wake up, B, I can't. Clearly, the offline yellow frame trapped by blackened earth had been trying to get clear even before the final explosion, likely ferrying his charge to safety. Small organic fingers tugged and shoved at the comparatively massive rocks, delicate skin tearing and leaving behind streaks of red fluid. But despite his panic, despite the pain, the human refused to abandon his guardian. Bumblebee, he choked out, voice thick with emotion. It reminded Soundwave all too much of another scene, long before, on another planet entirely. So, he emerged from behind a mostly intact spire. Just the first step drew the human's attention. He spun around to stare, optics wide with fear behind protective lenses. Soundwave took another step, and the foolhardy organic lunged to seize a nearby rock, hefting it with both hands and crying out, Stay back! History repeated itself. A single data cable whipped forth, thin pincers catching the rear collar of the youngling's outer garment like a scruff bar, and hoisting him off the ground. His rock fell, dropped by shaking, damaged fingers, and he hiccuped on a sob. B. The damaged Autobot did not stir. Soundwave observed for a long moment. And then, again, history repeated itself. Smaller pieces of rubble went quickly, flicked aside or else picked up and tossed. The bigger sections required a bit more care to tip off the prone frame beneath without inflicting further damage. When he deemed his efforts enough, Soundwave wrapped cables and fingers alike around yellow and black plating and heaved the unresponsive Autobot free. Deathly still, the human watched with only an occasional wet gasp. Soundwave didn't bother to put him down until he'd dragged the Autobot clear of the shattered pillar. It wasn't as if the little organic weighed even a tenth as much as a Cybertronian youngling. When he finally did so, the human scuttled straight to his prone guardian, hissing with distress as he looked over the still-leaking injuries. After a quick check that no other Decepticons lingered close enough to catch a glimpse, Soundwave drew from his subspace a small medical field kit. Several torn energon lines would need to be patched to keep the scout from perishing before his team could arrive, and as long as he was already doing that much, Soundwave could trim and smooth down the jagged edges, most likely to repuncture those lines. As he bent to the task, an old audiophile began to play from one of his speakers. The same soft, gentle melody as last time, a relic from another age. The human looked up with obvious confusion, but didn't question it. Rather, he ducked and crawled around Soundwave's fingers at work, almost like a brand new symbiote, checking each patch's integrity with hardly a care for his own damaged digits. Most of the way through the process, blue optics onlined with a faint glow, followed by a weak, warbled inquiry. "Bumblebee!" the human cried back, abandoning his inspections to scramble up to the scout's helm. "Don't move, okay? You're still leaking energon, but..." A momentary hesitation. "Soundwave is almost done." It obviously took several beats for the knowledge to register in the Autobot's sluggish processor. But then his optics brightened, one arm shoving at the ground to try and lift himself up, heavy twisting to get a better look. Soundwave caught and pinned him back to the ground. And then, before the scout could struggle further, he paused the music to play a conjoined pair of audio clips. "Hey, ain't no trouble, Lil B." The Autobot flinched. Eventually, though, tense cables loosened, and he eased back down. The human's head swiveled back and forth between them, clearly confused, whether he understood the Neo-Cybex words or not. As Soundwave continued to work, he ignored the scout attempting to explain in simplistic binomial, an entirely inadequate language at the best of times, let alone when damaged sensors and battle protocols clogged up one's higher thought processing. "It's okay, B," the human finally shushed him, curling against dented yellow plating. "It can wait until you're better." In the silence afterward, Soundwave resumed his music. When the worst of the wounds were patched and the remainder mostly sealed from the efforts of self-repair nanites, he straightened up and stepped away, looking down at the pair. They both stared back. Logically, this would be the point to call in reinforcements before the rest of the Autobots could finish digging their way to the surface and take both the scout and human prisoner so that they could be interrogated for useful intelligence and either turned into bargaining chips or else executed. But the memory of yellow plating curled up against black and white interceded. Throughout much of the war, Soundwave operated under a different logic tree than usual with regard to a certain Autobot, and, evidently, his subconscious processing had seen fit to replicate the altered parameters with regards to this pair of enemies in this particular circumstance. Irritating, and yet inescapable. As if sensing his predicament, the human cautiously spoke. "Thanks." Soundwave dipped his head in a shallow nod before taking two steps back and triggering his transformation sequence. No one aboard the Nemesis had yet calmed him with regard to his absence from the skirmish. Soundwave soared up to the top of the canyon and found a place to perch with a decent view of the yellow figure far below. He would keep watch until the remaining Autobots came to find their scout and human. And after, well, afterward, things would return to the war as usual. The end.